Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody from Chicago here. Today we have the honor and privilege of speaking with Mr. Matt Katzer. He is CEO and founder and, I guess, owner of Camond IT. Now, they're a leading cloud service provider out in Oregon. Matt, thanks for having us on. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, Ravi, thanks a lot. Sure looking forward to this.
Yeah, we've had you on the previous podcast, but if you could just kind of do an introduction about yourself and about your company, that'd be great.
Yeah, Camond, thanks, Robbie. Camond IT is a CMC cybersecurity supplier to the defense contractor community, also to the commercial community. We basically do, we're managed cybersecurity following the Microsoft footsteps in terms of implementation. And we're also tier one, which means we're a direct managed partner. And we're one of the 42 partners in the U.S. that actually provides subscriptions to the Department of Defense and defense contractors in Azure government.
Excellent. Now, in our previous podcast, we have talked about the CMMC. I believe it's gone from, it started with version one, then it's gone to two. And now I believe there's a version 2.1, if I'm correct. What are the changes? And first of all, let's get started with, like, what's the public feedback in, with all these changes that have been going on?
Well, that's a really interesting question. And you have to look at the clock and see what happened on the timeline. On December 22nd, the Department of Defense released the, in the Federal Register, it was a pretty big posting, a 250 document about the CMC, you can call it the 2.1 update or the 2.0 update or 2.1, depending which your frame of reference. But what's unique about this is that they took all the comments that they had over the past years from the 1.0 and the 2.0, and they rolled all that into this document. And they, it looks like they, and it's out, the comment period just been closed, and that was known as, they call it Title 32. And now they're doing Title 48, which is a comment period for the federal contractors, officers. Those are the folks that, the guidelines for the folks that are actually issuing contracts to defense community. So it's been really interesting to see the reaction of the community in general.
When do you think they'll actually will put this into motion, or when will public feedback may be made available for everybody to see? When do you anticipate all this happening?
Well, if you look in terms of what's going on, it's there's a very aggressive schedule. And it gets back into when you do, it's more of how much you understand the government politics and structure. But basically, what the DOD has to do after they take the comments and roll the comments into it and do a new publication in terms of this is what the proposed ruling is going to look like. They have a target to get this in place, I understand, on around about the first or second week in October. Because what they want to do is they want to get it through the 118th Congress before the 119th Congress gets elected next year and the process restarts.
Okay, excellent. Now, I believe with the CMMC 2.0, there were a lot of changes made. I think they went from, I think, five maturity levels to down to three. But it seems like in this next version that's coming out, there was just more clarification than actual changes. Could you give some examples of some of the clarifications that they have made?
Yeah, I mean, for some of the clarifications, it's a good question. It has been saying they've been very specific. It's about NIST 800-171-R2 in terms of the agreement. In terms of level one, they're very specific about FCI and the requirements for it. That's federal contract information. And level two, which is basically NIST 800-171, what's the, you know, in terms of the requirements for CUI. The interesting thing is that what they've done is they basically defined in terms of security protection assets, and which is an interesting ripple in terms of the effect on it. What this really means from a what we see in the in version 2, and this was also in version 1 at one time, basically they're saying that if you're a supplier of services to defense contractors, you have to be at or above the level in terms of your certification in order to provide those services.
Okay, excellent. Now, why is contractor risk managed assets, why are they so important? Or, I mean, can you first define what it is and why has it been so important?
Well, in the CMC, if you actually, you can get a hold of the DOD guys from the DOD CIO office in CMC if you actually search for that in terms of Bing or Google, and you'll download one of the assessment guides. In the assessment guide, around about page 13 or so, they have a definition of different assets, what they call CUI assets. And these are the classification of different type of, you know, physical access of computers and other devices you have. So they have certain types of thing called security protection assets, for instance. And those assets provide capabilities to the contractor's CMC assessment scope, irregardless if these assets are in scope or out of scope or store transmit CUI. They also have contractor risk manage assets. These are assets that are not intended to process or store transmit CUI because security policies in practice, but basically are there to make sure that they're logically, physically or logically separated from the CUI assets. Then you have specialized assets, which is basically those assets that may or may not transmit CUI. Usually specialized assets are going to be like NC machines and everything else associated with that. And then you have out of scope, which is the target of what people want to do. Because when you go through and do an assessment, what you're trying to do is define the scoping area and limit the scope to what really touches or, you know, follows the rules in terms of what it process stores or transmits CUI.
Okay, excellent. Now, suppose, Matt, suppose you get a customer, you know, a defense contractor, and they need to get CMMC certified. And they approach you for help, how would you walk them through the entire process? Or in other words, what is the path to CMMC implementation like?
Well, I mean, it really depends the contractor, and it depends what their infrastructure is like. And we have a number of, and on our website, if you can go to a YouTube channel, we have a number of videos we've done about what's the process and everything else. But in a nutshell, it starts with the contractor looking at the company and saying, okay, is my company, what level of security do I need to put on the company? And most organizations, unless they have a control over CUI, they know specifically where it is in the company, will basically say that they'll make the company level one. And then what happens is if they'll decide to look at and say that I'll define this host unit or this area where CUI is, and that's going to be the area that's going to be the that you're looking for a certification, and either convert that into an enclave or restructured so it's a small area. So in essence, you could have an organization, if you look like a Venn diagram, for instance, or a couple bubbles, the big bubble is the company, and that's at level one, which is a self-attestation. And the area where CUI is, that's a host area, and that's basically what needs to go through a third-party assessor. In cloud computing, which is what Camin does, what happens is that the company ends up being in the commercial Office 365, either under commercial licenses, or they use the government tribal licenses, which are really designed for state and local governments and tribal entities. And that's one part of the organization. They may have those type of licenses. Or if they have CUI, then they end up being into Azure Government, which is a whole different data center. And that's the GCC or Azure Gov. And so when we go through the process, the first step is to really speak to the customer and understand what the business strategy is. The second step is to define where CUI, not really doing a true scoping, but in essence doing a scoping for that process so we know exactly what we're actually looking at. And third is basically come up with a plan. And that plan is, if it's building in GCC High, we build out the enclave, we put the structure in place, and we put necessary tools and techniques and intellectual property we developed over the years to allow contractors to basically remote into those environment and basically control, make sure CUI doesn't backflow into the organization so they can control the scope and meet the requirements. And it's in a new environment, you can put these things in place in 6 months. If you have a 6-plus months typically. If you have an existing environment and you need to convert it, that's a much longer time. That could be 12 to 18 months.
Excellent. Now, talking about scoping, can you define for our audience what scoping is all about or how Canon goes about it and why it is so important for the CMMC?
Well, scoping, there's guides that the DoD published in terms of scoping and everything else, but basically what scoping is about, when you look at what CUI is, electronic CUI in your organization, you're going to have it in a specific area. And you have to define or create a data flow diagram that shows where that CUI flows to different assets. And that's what scoping is about. It's about defining where those assets are and drawing a circle around it. And once you have defined those assets and have the data flow associated with, so you make sure you have everything inclusive, that's basically the area that is focused for the assessment. And scoping is defined, if you really look at it, it's about those assets that are intended to process, store, or transmit CUI. And so that's the definition. So you look in terms of does my system process or store or transmit CUI? Now, if you have a laptop, for instance, we may actually create like a virtual environment and allow you to VDI into that virtual environment. So the virtual engine's actually transmitting, store, processing CUI, but the laptop isn't. And so that's where you actually look at the different type of assets. So that's why it's really important so we define those things.
Okay, excellent. Now, another question I have is if you can give clarification on MSPs and MSSPs, if they have to be above the level of the client account, could you please explain that a little bit more?
Correct. In the current DoD posting on the release on December 26th and the comments associated with it, it was really interesting because DoD is now recognizing that the driving force of security requirements are actually the MSP and the MSSP. And so they're looking at it from an aspect is what can actually influence companies to adopt to, you know, the CMC standards and everything else and get the requirements. And keep in mind, there's 300,000 companies that have to get certified, and 220,000 are level one, and roughly 80,000 are level two, and 2,000 are level three. So there's amount of certification entities, there's not that many. There's currently roughly between about 53 certified entities that can actually do this. So when you look at in terms of what the DoD is thinking about with MSPs and MSSPs, in the current published draft ruling on December 26, basically what it's saying is that if you're an MSP or you're an MSSP and you have a client that you're providing services for, and that client is CMC level two, you have to be either at CMC level two or CMC level three. Likewise, if you have a client that's CMC level one, you have to be at CMC level one or higher to service that client. And if you're not, then what happens is that you create an incident and that client is basically will lose their certification. So within this has a broad ranging impact. It's down to with the MSSPs for Camin, for instance. We started this journey back in 2019, and we started looking at the tools that we used and which tool suites do we use. And can those tool suites meet the federal requirements? Are they FedRAMP High services? You know, do they have U.S. support? Is the code actually in the code repositories in the U.S.? Is the SaaS services in the sovereign U.S.? All those becomes issues now because then when you're actually looking or backing up information or using third-party tools, under the current CMC proposed regulations, if the tools you are using and if the services you are using are not sovereign U.S.-based and are not FedRAMP service, then basically your client is potentially your client can lose their certification. The other aspect of the latest spec, and this is probably the most profound one, is that those assets right now under the current ruling would become in scope for the assessment. And that's why it's really, that means that as an MSSP, you may in a situation where you actually have to prove or show your certification in order for your client to pass their certification.
Now, as we come close to wrapping up our show, Matt, is there any other advice or information that you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, it's really interesting. In the past 5 months, what we've seen is there, especially with what's coming out in DOD, there's an uptick. And there's an uptick of requirements. And to understand, and DOD was really pretty clear about their schedule. So when you look in, they're shooting to hit this for the, October 1st, of this second week of October release date to the Congress for approval. Their internal rollout schedule, which they published, this is known as Title 48, which has just been out for public comment, lays out the plan of schedule. And what it means is that assuming that Congress, the 118th Congress, passes this law, the law will come into effect in Q1 of 2025. What DOD has, the contract officers, they've given them 6 months to start transitioning people into putting the pieces in the contract. And if you look at the timeline, 6 months after the end of Q1 puts you right back in October 1st of 2025, which is a new congressional budget year. And that year, and then DOD has, they want to achieve by 12 months after that, which pushes you into Q1 of 2026, where all contracts will have CMC requirements, which means that in order to bid or receive a grant on a contract, you have to be level 2 compliant and you have to be certified. So this people who have kicked the can down the road, there's no road to go anymore. So it's time to basically buckle up and look at things and figure out how you're going to actually make the timeline.
Okay, excellent. Now, finally, Matt, if there's anybody that's interested in contacting you for your services or they need further advice, what's the best way for someone to get a hold of you?
Well, the best way to get a hold of us is to, you got two ways. Go to our website, www.kamen.com, and in our contact page, you can actually put a request in, reach out to us. You can also give us a call at our the website numbers posted on the website and call us that way and reach one of our service techs and just ask about CMC. Or you can actually email us at, you can email me at mkatzer@kamind.com. I mean, so the multiple ways, and just let us know and let us know how we can help you. A lot of folks that give us a call, they're looking to try to figure out what they need to do. And, our process with our clients and prospects has always been one of education. So we want to try to help you make the right decisions so you actually go to the right, you do the necessary things. Because we all have this mission. We're looking at how to keep our country safe and how to keep our warfighters safe. And that's the whole goal of the CMC program.
Excellent. Well, Matt, we thank you for your time, and we look forward to having you again on a future podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much, and appreciate it, Robbie.
Yeah. And if anything new comes out, yeah, we'll definitely schedule one ahead of time if need be, too. So we look forward to having you. Take care.
Can I give you a real incentive to lean into your decision to start working out and eating better? I'm Carl, co-founder of BODi. That's B-O-D-I. And right now, if you sign up for a one-year subscription to BODi, I want to make you an offer you can't refuse. I'll give you 65% off. Look, I know it's not easy to get fit and lose weight, especially if you're trying to figure it out by yourself, but we make it simple. Just follow a program for 20 to 30 minutes day by day and lose 5 to 10 pounds a month. We have over 120 programs that have been tested and proven to work, and almost 300,000 five-star reviews in the App Store to prove it. BODi also has complete eating plans and thousands of healthy, delicious recipes. So stop guessing and start seeing results with BODi, and I'll give you 65% off your annual membership right now so you save big on the app that CNN underscored named Best Fitness App. So don't wait. Sign up for a year of BODi and save 65%. Just go to BODi.com. That's BODi with an I.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.